morning, a good morning on our first Sunday in 2025. What a delight. We made it through 2024 and we are here once again together here at the Sunrise Project, where it's always a safe space filled with love and compassion and our desire to be together as we work to heal ourselves and heal our families. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And that speaks volumes to me today because there have been so many changes in 2024, and I can't wait to see what happens in 2025. This is our monthly touch base, open house, open session with our resident expert, Dr. Linda McGee, who many of you have known since the very beginning, almost 5 years ago, when we started this journey together. And Dr. Linda McGee, we love her and we call her Dr. Linda. She's a clinical psychologist. She's also an attorney, a nationally recognized mental health expert. She's a speaker. She's an adjunct professor, I think that's correct, at George Washington University, and on and on and on. And she, on a personal level, has been working with me and my family for 20 years almost, and really helped me on my personal journey, the journey with my own family and my own self, really transitioning myself. So Dr. McGee joins us once a month, pretty much, and is here to allow and provide an open space for people to share and talk and get anything you might want to get off your mind or your heart, ask for advice. It's like a free therapy session for an hour. And we do it in a loving, safe, compassionate space. So today we are simply focused on, it's a new year. It's a new opportunity for new possibilities. And so we have this new year, 2025. And the topic for today is New Year. It's a new year. Now what? And so I'm going to turn it over to you, Dr. Linda, to get us started in this conversation. And the first question is, why is 2025? Every year, January 1st becomes this new fresh start for many of us. Why is that?
Well, I mean, we all are oriented toward a society that's oriented around this like New Year's resolutions, right? And we take it seriously, but we also know that these resolutions don't really have like a lot of steam behind them. So one of the things that I thought when I sent out the social media notices is like, do y'all wonder how you get from this goal setting to actual progress on goals that last past January 20th? How do you make changes? And Kelly and I had a little pre-meeting kind of pep up session this morning, heart to heart this morning to sort of lead us off and shared some of our frustrations and some of the things that work for us. And so I put in the chat, how many of you have goals for the year? How many of you have goals for yourself, your health, your wealth, your children? And how many of you have started to think about like how is this year going to be different? And for those of you who are struggling with things like we all do, how do I get over the hump? So D says I've laid mine out already. So D, tell us, can you is there anything that you can share with us publicly about things that you've sort of set out for yourself?
Sure. I've decided this year that I'm going to be more strategic, purposeful, and intentional with what I'm doing. And I think the end of the year, I started doing that probably like the last 2 months of the year, just kind of stepping down from committees and boards that I wasn't all in on. Like I was fulfilling an obligation, but I just wasn't as present as I should have been, and I didn't have enough time for the things that I really wanted to do. So what's different this year, I ordered three different 2025 planners. So yes, Kelly, I went back to the paper
Yeah,
and
me too, D.
And I separated them. So I have one for the Sunrise Project, I have one for my own organization, and then I have my life planner, and the three shall not mix. Like this year, I'm very clear and to be intentional about what goes where. And if I've not written it in that planner, it's not going to happen. And so I have goals for each one of those and my own timelines, and I plan to stick to those. So what's different is me compartmentalizing things and being intentional about those three. And if it doesn't fit in one of those three boxes, then it's not a priority. Like it can happen or not. So that's
Right.
what's different.
So like you're being intentional about what you say yes to, and you're saying
And what I
no.
say no to, I'm
That's
not
what
going
I
to
that
feel
now is what I was going
guilty
to
about.
say. You're saying no so that you can say yes to those priorities.
Exactly. Exactly. Not even a soft maybe. Because before when I would say no, so like of course my husband's like, you just say no. But at the end of the day, no is no. Because when people say things like, oh, I'll see, that to me that still means no. Like you're leaving people hanging when you're saying, well, let me think about it and get back to you, or let me, like if I know in that moment that it would be a stretch, I have to go ahead and say, I mean, maybe not just outright no, but just I have too many things on my plate. And even if there's nothing on my plate, the problem is there's nothing today, but by then I'm sure that something else is going to come up and then I'll have to back out. And I feel terrible about that. So I'm just learning to not to commit. Well, I'm just not going to commit. That way I don't put myself in a situation where I'm not fully present.
Well, I was going to add that, well, your point is about how you communicate, right? One of your more subtle points is about how you communicate. And if it's no, I think one of the kindest, most compassionate things you can do when someone's trying to organize something is to tell them no. And to tell them that you're not going to be available this year to do that because you're focused on some other things. Instead of saying maybe, or I got to think about it. To just say, no, I don't think so. I was just asked to do
Oh,
something
I
here.
never do that. Like I usually will say no. I'm just saying that people don't like it when you're, that direct about it. They prefer for you to say, "Well, let me think about it." But this year I'm not feeling guilty about just saying I can't do it. I'm sticking to that this year. Like I'm not looking for other ways to not. Like I have to, 'cause I end up taking the hit. Like when I don't stick to that, it impacts me like mentally, physically. Like I'm so exhausted. Like by the end of the year, I had zero energy and I'm looking, I'm like, why am I tired? Like I, you know, so yeah, but and it seems so simple. I mean, just getting those three different things, my mind doesn't feel cluttered. I'm very clear on what my priorities are this year. And, I'm just ready to tackle it.
I mean, I personally prefer it when people tell me directly no. Even if I don't want to hear it, but at least I know, right? And someone says my no is an opportunity for someone else's yes. I will even refer people. Same here. Same here. Someone, thank you. That's wonderful. Someone has their hand up. You could go ahead and unmute yourself and talk.
Hi, my name is Corrine Atkinson. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Fantastic. First time joining, but I just thought I was reading something this morning and it literally just now, and I'm like, okay, we're having the same conversation, right? So maybe I should be paying attention to this. And it was a statement from Buffett. He says, avoid distractions, right? It's from a book. I could tell you to drop the book in the chat if anyone wants to get it. He says, the key to success is focus. You do not want to compete with a focused person. Then he says, the difference between successful people and very successful people is that very successful people say no to almost everything. So just dropping that. That's it.
Focus. I remember, thank you for, first of all, being here today for the first time. Please come back.
Hi. I certainly I'll grace you with my I don't have my morning face on, so I don't want to stress you
No,
guys
no,
out.
no, no, no. You don't
Okay.
have to do that. That's only for me and Kelly have to do that. But thank you for that. I just remember reading about I want to write more, And I've been reading about people talking about the writing process. And Alice Walker said before she wrote The Color Purple was that she had like two or three things on her list, and writing was number one, and basically raising children was the other one, you know? And that's all she focused on. And I know that sometimes that is very difficult because we have so many things pulling on at us at the same time. But I think it comes down to what are you going to be intentional about in 2025? And how are you going to do it? Kelly and I were talking earlier about, like health, right? One of the things I learned this year when it's really in 2024, I was trying to improve my nutrition, was that just how much time that took. Right? You have to go grocery shopping. You have to meal plan. You need to have something healthy around when you are frustrated with the news or are frustrated with your child or whatever, right? Because otherwise, you're just going to grab the potato chips. But the time that it takes to be more intentional about your eating, it's more than you think. And you have to allocate that time if you want to make improvements. So think about not just the goal, but how you're going to set aside time to do it. And I always think I can get more done than I can get done. And I know Kelly's like that too, because I sometimes tell Kelly will tell me she has a 6:30 phone call and I'm like, oh Jesus. But I'm now telling myself that I'm not a great time estimator. So one of the things that I'm going to do is to basically almost double the time that I think that something's going to take. So this is in sort of my idea about how we can avoid having a new year, a resolution or an intention that just sort of goes by the wayside, right? Is you set a goal, but then we don't take the tiny steps. And the tiny steps is figuring out like where we go wrong, and then putting some things in place. What are your patterns?
I want to just ask a question because I love that comment about the Warren Buffett comment and the book that you mentioned, and the thought around saying no. And I think what you said, and I just wanted to make sure I'm clear, the difference between successful people and very successful people is that most very successful people say no most of the time. Was that correct?
To say no to almost everything.
To almost everything. And which book is that in? Is that in the Warren Buffett 7 Habits for Success? Because I do want to get it on
It
my phone
is.
later.
It's a I think she put the book in the chat.
Oh, great.
If I want to know where I'm going to die, so I'll never be there. Buffett and Munger, A Study of Simplicity. It's in the
Thank
it's
you.
it's a, it's not, yeah.
Can I
So it's
add
by
something
Peter
to that?
Bevelin.
Can I add
Of
something to that?
course.
I
Of
do
course.
remember that Shonda Rhimes has a book. I don't remember if it's called A Year of Yes or
That's a
Yes,
year of saying yes.
Year of Saying Yes, right? And so I just want to offer something, another angle to this. And I'm is that the Bible says there's a time for everything under the sun, right? And so when you're trying to achieve a particular thing, or in the case of Warren and Buffett, their whole lives have been in pursuit of this thing, right? And so it makes sense that they remain in this posture in their mind. But I think that to think about the other side of it, Shonda has achieved an incredible amount of success as a woman, a ton of things going on in her life. And so she did say no to a lot of things. And then on the other, she emerged at one point and said, wait a minute, what am I missing? And what can I say yes to? But it wasn't just about changing to the posture of yes. It was about being really intentional about like those things also, right? The things
But
that bring joy. What is she trying to
right.
achieve? What does she want from it? So I think that two things can be true as we think about what we want to achieve, and where we are in our lives. Like sometimes that deep focus and that posture of no is necessary to forge ahead, right?
Right. Yeah,
So
I definitely agree with you. I think that two things can be true at once, and also they can also be read in the way that if you have been more intentional and selective in the things that you're don't add value, like Dee alluded to that, like what are your
100%.
values and your goals, Right. And like, you know, just because you're sitting on a board doesn't mean you got to continue to sit on the board, or just because you're the PTA person doesn't mean you have to continue to be. But to start to weed out some of the things that don't feel like they feed your values, they don't seem like a good use of your time, you're not all invested in them, that leaves you open to the possibility of having periods where you can say yes to things and try new things and figure out what gives you joy. Because I feel like right now I've said yes to a lot of things that I want to try, because I have been saying no to things that don't no longer serve me. And going back to what you said, you know, there is a time and season for everything. And to know, you know, to keep it biblical, to know when to choose life and to leave those things that are dead behind.
Love that.
Definitely. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for sharing. I thought I saw someone else's hand up. Was there somebody
Yeah, I
else
did
that had a
too.
hand up to maybe pull it back down? Feel free to come off of mute if you want, or you can put it in the chat if that's more comfortable. And I love what Tracy said. Dr. Tracy says, "My no is an opportunity for someone else's yes. I will even refer people to someone else." That's fantastic.
I wanted to go back to that too. So thank you, Kelly, for reminding me. You know, in this spirit of us helping one another and being more aware of our brothers and sisters, pull up that person. You know, refer to someone that you know can do it. Give them a hand up. Give them an invitation into the room that you no longer want to be in. It's very important. It's very difficult for sometimes people of color to get in the room. And if you no longer want to do it, help someone else. Pass along the opportunity. That was just on my heart. A deeply rooted yes and a posture of no. I like that, right? Yes. That's in the comments. Not that I can't change my mind, but my yes should feel good from the moment it comes out of my mouth. Yes. I mean, I just think that sometimes we work so hard for opportunities, and when they do come, it just feels right. Things click into place, and we know it. Anybody else that's struggling, they don't no longer want to set goals, or they feel stuck. Many of my family members do not hear my no's. I have a lot to learn. Anybody, Kelly, you got anything for that? When your family doesn't hear your no's.
Yeah, I don't, for me, it's not family. I think my family, actually, I don't see my family as much as I would like to. But I think with my job, my day job, I have a tough time saying no because I want to help everybody. It's part of the purpose of the company is to advance authentic joy while helping to change the world. And that's the whole purpose. That's why the company exists. And so by default, I want to help people. Everybody. And so I have a really tough time saying no, even when I'm stretched. I was sharing with you earlier, I got up once, I don't know what day it is really, but like 1:44 in the morning to work because I had to do work so I could spend some quality time in the sunshine, which makes me ha happy and makes me smile. But that need to get up in the middle of the night to work, it's like because I have too much on my plate. Or maybe I don't have the right people, or maybe, it could be a host of things. But I have a really tough time saying no. I'm always trying to figure out how to get to yes.
Well, I can only speak for myself and say that I know that in the last couple of years, it felt like too much hustle and bustle. And it still feels like it. And I want to be in a period where I can just sit and be more.
And just be, yeah.
And so I'm trying to get to that. And if you are trying, if anyone else out there is trying and they know that they can sort of commiserate with where I am, you have to say no. You just have to say no. You have to resign. You have to do some things that people are not going to like. The last quarter of this year, I said no to people and they did not hear me. They didn't want to hear it. So a couple of things about the no's from family, particularly from family members. I have been reading these articles about this book. Kelly, I don't know if you've heard of it, called The Let Them Theory, right? It's by Mel Robbins. I'll put it in the chat. And she's all over the internet right now. And she's talking about if you have family members who think a certain way about things, let them, right? If they don't agree that you should, if they want you to fly across the country 5 times a year and they never want to fly the other way, then you have to let them be who they are, not try to change what they think because they think a certain way. But then you have to start thinking about how you're responding to them, right? And how you're twisting yourself in pretzels to try to please other people. And it just sort of it takes pressure off of the person who's trying to get that family member to change or to get that family member to agree that no, it's okay for you to say no. They're never going to think that, right? So the let them theory is like says let them feel that way, right? But you start to take an account as to how they're not going to change, but the way that you see the situation can change. And I have a large family, and this is a personal note here. I have 7 brothers and 4 sisters, and there is never a uniformity of thought. There was never agreement, and you have to get to the point where you're not always twisting yourself in a pretzel, frustrating yourself, and always giving in to, for lack of a better word, the crazy, right? It's okay to take care of yourself and to say, no, I'm not coming, or no, I'm not paying, or no, it's just okay. With work, I agree with Kelly, as a whole, that's a whole different situation. But even then, I feel like I personally am a much more effective psychologist, speaker, whatever, now that I've started to weed down the amount of things that I'm doing. Anybody else have anything that that's pressing? Because I just feel like that there's like on this line today that there are some people that really want to talk and what they're struggling coming into this year. And I didn't want to I don't want to dismiss the conversation we had the last time I was here, which I think was just a couple of weeks ago, Kelly, about in the times that we're living in right now. I don't want to ignore that we are in a very turbulent times in the United States. And a lot of you all are making decisions in that backdrop. And I don't, go
I was
ahead.
gonna say, what do you recommend for like people who are who just had to deal with the inauguration weekend? It's coming up in a week and a half or so, 2 weeks, I guess.
I think that these are times where you have to do what you have to do, right? And if that means that you got to leave DC, for those of you that are in the DMV like us, that's fine. For those of you who do not want to watch TV, I have not been watching television news. I hadn't been watching it over the past few years. I have no plans to go back to it. If you need to if you need to do something, you can go and you can do service. There's many people offering service projects and social justice projects. So, I mean, just do what you have to do to get through. And the one thing I will say, and I am really trying hard, very hard not to be political, but I'm just going to say this. One thing we know about what is going to happen is that we're not going to know what's going to happen, right? And it's going to be chaotic because this is the MO, right? And so we're all trying to ground ourselves into another period of chaos. And so we got to organize our hearts, our homes, our bodies to withstand the fact that there is no set patterns, that chaos is the modus operandi. And again, I don't seek to offend, but that is what we're facing. Tracy, you have your hand up.
Good morning, ladies. Happy New Year.
Hi.
So I'm choosing not to watch. I don't like scary movies. I don't like comedy that does not fulfill me. I think that this is, I try my best not to be political as well, Dr. McGee, but I'm choosing not to. And I think that's important for us all to make a intentional decision about a lot of things in our lives, that our TV has been on CNN for the last couple of months, you know, intentionally, but at this point on that specific day, I'm focusing more on my social justice initiatives. But I did want to speak to the yes and the no. And I was just thinking, you know, when we go into the year, we talk about our mental, physical, emotional, spiritual, financial goals and nutritional goals. And I just thought about the plate and how every year, there are certain things that I take off my plate, and I'm always talking about the cup. But today, when I think about the plate, I think about people who hoard. And when they hoard, like, you have all this stuff on your plate and you're like, I'm so full, I can't eat anymore, I don't want anymore. And you end up throwing a lot of things away. And for me, I want my plate, I want it to be portioned, like things that I really want to eat. I want to eat the things on my plate, which means there's some things that I have to take off. And people are angry about that. My family members, when I'm like, I'm going to go here. I've been having programs for girls in school this year. I was like, this is my last year in the school. I'm more intentional. This year is my year of women initiatives. And the things that are with the girls, unfortunately, my local community, it's got to be national and global. And I can't focus on all three. And I find myself like, I don't know what to do. I just can't do it. But I also realized that I can't add more to my plate. It doesn't add value if I got all this other stuff on my plate and I can't get to the good stuff. And oftentimes we eat all the other stuff and save that good stuff for last. It's like eating the dessert first now. I need to get the good stuff. And I'm limited on time. I think we all are. But I know for a fact that I'm ready. I owe it to myself to limit the things that are on my plate.
That is just such wise wisdom. And I just love the metaphor of the plate, right? Because it just represents so many things. It represents literally what we eat, figuratively, spiritually. Taking things away, adding things back, you know, who we let fill our plate, right?
Absolutely. And not only we don't want to be a hoarder. We can't be hoarders. We can't, you know, we can't live from this crab bucket mentality. And now more than ever, Black privilege is important. If we can bring someone else to the table, if we can uplift someone else that we know can get the job done. That's the key. I'm not just, you know, doing it on a shield. We need to know that the person that we choose can get the job done. But I think sometimes we don't have anyone else that can get the job done. So we feel like, I've got to do it myself.
Right.
You know?
I think that this has been a very painful 6 months for a lot of people in this country. And, but there have been some discussions that have been opened in our communities that I think have been very, very beneficial. We've had some conversations about masculinity. We've had some conversations about men supporting women. We've had conversations about what it means to be Black. We've had conversations about now taking care of ourselves and our communities. And so, as painful as it's been, I feel like there's been some good things that have come out of it. And also, a sort of look back at our own communities and how we can support the people. And I don't mean just racially, how we can support the people closest to us and coming back to community. So I think going back to Kelly's question, the way that we sort of navigate January and the festivities and, Martin Luther King's birthday, and there's a lot going on here, is try to find some way that gives you hope, that feeds you. And maybe it's just you try that thing that you've been wanting to try. Like, I'm trying to get back into nature. I am really, really trying. I'm not typically a real other than a beach person, I'm not typically an outdoor person, but I'm really, really hoping that this is my year that I discover trails in Washington, D.C. and start really walking for joy as opposed to just walking for exercise. Anybody else have any thoughts about how they're making sense of the world right now and how they plan on spending January? Anybody have any fitness goals or challenges that they want to share? And even going back to why we're here, which is our children, how we started to be here. Anybody have any goals about how you're going to orient around your children and your children's issues this year? Any resolutions or any thoughts about that?
I could jump in on this one.
Hurst, go ahead.
This particular one is a struggle for me because I have three children, three amazing sons. Lucky me, bless me. And I feel like two of my children have been kind of finding their way, doing really well in school and college. And my oldest has been struggling a lot, a lot, a lot, a lot, a lot. And on top of that, I also have a position at my job that I'm stepping into really, really soon, to be the chief of a particular department, and that's pulling on me excessively, of course. And so the challenge is just thinking about, like, I don't know if anyone has this. I'm not sure if it has this or how they've navigated this, the pull of like raising your children to a certain point. And then not losing yourself and wanting to step forward in your career. And I'm not convinced that you can do both well at the same time. You kind of have, it feels like you have to choose, right? And my children are 21, 20, almost 20 and 18. So I've chosen them for a long time. So now I want to step into myself, and I got one that's pulling on me, and I'm like, yeah, sir, yeah, I like you a lot, but I really don't want to do it. I don't want to go back to that. So, and I'm just being real, right? So I just curious, has anyone experienced that? Like that wanting to step away to kind of do it? And I'm doing it for the family, right? But
But you know, it wouldn't even be okay if you were doing it for you.
yeah, and I want to. So I
I
don't
mean,
want
I
to
know. I
overwhelm the
mean, I'm.
conversation. I just love to hear where, where anyone else stands in that.
I don't. I think that when you said it has to be one way or the other, I just think that life has got too many variables for it to be one way or the other, but, or just to be a pat answer. But I think you as a person, as a woman, as a career person, as a mother, there are times when you can and should prioritize yourself, even while you're going through it with your kids. And that was your question just brought up the other issue that I was really thinking about before I got on the call today. But I didn't want to distract us because we said we're going to talk about your goals, but it's just, I've been encountering a lot of mothers in particular, but some fathers who sort of don't prioritize themselves even in long term as they deal with long term problems with their children. And I just think that has a, I personally think that it might have a lot to do with guilt. And you're right, it has a lot to do with your children still needing your time. But I think that there just should be consideration to finding paths that make you happy, even in the midst of it, whether it be that job or a hobby. I just don't think that it should always be an either or. Because I know, given what you've just said and implied, that you've most of the time have given it all to your children.
The whole thing, the entire shebang, like literally put my career on hold for decades, right? So now it's just kind of like, yeah, I just don't want, I don't want to go back to that. Like I've done that. And I know that like parenting is forever, right? You never, and I don't want to change that, of course, but it's just like, yeah, it's like for me, the job that I'm doing was, it's, you could almost say 7 days a week, right? Because in communications and crisis comms, there's no off point, especially for a large organization. So like to have that pull now, it's like, yeah, do you just say, hey, figure it out? What do you do?
I think, as we used to always say when our kids were young and Kelly and I were in a mother's group, we used to say balance was the B word, right? You've been doing things entirely one way. And so even if you do try to shift it, it's gonna be some growing pains, right? But it sounds like to me that you've already identified that you need more balance. You need more things that are oriented to your own personal and individual goals and joys. I can't say whether it's going to be that job or not, but I can say that the balance needs to shift probably a little bit more over to you. And that is okay for you to find that joy. Even in the midst of your child's struggles. Does that make sense
A
to
100%
you?
makes sense. And I mean, if anyone else on the call, has experienced anything like that, it doesn't have to be with your kids. It could be anybody, anything that pulls on you when you kind of want to do something for you, right? I'd love to hear it too.
Anybody else experiencing that? I'd love to hear from you, to sort of share in to the discussion about balance. Anybody else struggling with that?
I'm coming to speak. I'm not struggling with that, but I was just thinking about the caller and thinking, wow, if there was the adage, a lesson bought is better than a lesson taught.
Recording in progress.
I would wish for her to learn much more than I did earlier. And so when listening to the age of your children and a lot of either or thinking can feel like that. And what I just learned when I was first saying, like, I didn't give them all this and I need to do something and all that, a lot of that was just an indication that I was off balance in my thinking. And so it just took time for me to go, and I would encourage you to maybe invest in a therapist and really just kind of talking through your thinking now and your experiences, because coming out on the closer now to the other end, with the children being 24, 28, and 35, it's different because now that they've watched me in the last, several years grow differently, react differently, you really very rarely would have either or thinking. You're like, man, there's so many possibilities out there, and you meet so many people who have been in similar situations and had just different combinations of resolutions and experiences. But it's hard to see it when when you've been in that, I call it the all my life I had to fight mode, you know what I mean? It's just very different because you get a little bit more narrow because you come into a routine that this is how you think everything has got to work, and that's how you've either learned it or et cetera. And then, like, the more experience you have with other people, the more it, just thinking and understanding thought processes. I call it the stage of you listen and you don't judge. And that is just such a good mindset, a space to be in, because you learn so much. And then things start making, you know, it just really expands your ability to be able to see varying perspectives and then making good decisions to unlearn whether patterns and behavior that may have served you in the climb, but may not be enough to serve you when you're getting into the other face of life where you can have a little bit more balance. So I'm not saying that I'm completely there, but I'm saying that I very much remember firsthand exactly what you're describing in that point when I was at that point in my life and my kids were a little bit younger. So I just wanted just to think about just that. There's just so many more perspectives out there. So I just wanted to offer that.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
There's some really good feedback. Looking, she's like about 7 or 8 years down the road from you.
Yes, yes, yes.
And, you know, and I was, and what, and she said what I was trying to say gently, and Kelly and I have been saying on this show for months, it's okay if you have joy, you know. And also, the clinician in me wants to just add this. When you reorient around how you work with your adult, your young adult children, it sends some messages to them too, right? When we sort of let go, it outlines patterns. What I've been seeing lately is that a lot of people, a lot of young adults are really resentful, and they have mental health problems, and they're pushing back and they're attacking mom. But they're in that pattern where they're dependent on them, right? Mm-hmm. So you continuing to like cling to that pattern is not really helpful for them to start taking charge and agency over their own lives, because you're in that pattern with them. So sometimes taking yourself out of that pattern to begin to find your own interests is actually helpful in breaking patterns.
Mm-hmm.
D, you had your hand up.
Yes, one thing I wanted to say was one thing that I had to learn to not do is to compare my situation with other people's situations, because they aren't the same. I have three adult children also, and I have friends who go, you know, leave the country for months at a time. You know, they're at that point where they can do that, but I have to be real about my situation, that that's just right. not something I can do, being right. the primary caregiver of an adult with a disability. You know, me having conversations with people about letting go, you know, like listening to this caller and finding a balance, you know, just being realistic about your situation. You know, we're in this group because of addiction and mental health issues. So many of our kids are dealing with those things as well. So our attachment to our kids isn't necessarily because we've been helicopter parents or whatever. So our situations are all very unique. And that guilt of, you know, for the original caller, like, there's just no need to feel guilty about feeling that attachment, because only we as mothers know where that is stemmed from. Like, there's always more than what's actually shared. So, you know, I did want to say that it's,
yeah,
you know, years absolutely. Ago, like when we grew up, our parents was, you know, was kind of like, oh, 18 is it, you know, right. We were working, we were doing all of those things, but times have changed, family structures have changed, and the dynamics for each of our households are different, which causes us to think differently about everything. So I just wanted that caller to feel okay with feeling with being in this dilemma, because it's not, you know, it's not abnormal. It's just, you know, she's just at a starting point of trying to figure out where that balance is, but it looks different for each one of us.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely. It is just very hard to be in this forum. We're talking about generalities, but you know what you're facing. You know the child that's in front of you. You know where they are. And it's going to always vary a lot. And you got to make judgments based on the situation that's in front of you. So I agree with that. Also, you know, I just want to just, Dee, I want to grab this one little part too. It's often easy for people to feel like they can give people advice. And we see kids on the internet and on social media, and we just think that we're the only people in this situation. But people are publicizing what they want to publicize, number one. And number two, they don't know your kid. They don't know your situation. And even if they do know your kid in their situation, they are giving you advice based on their experience. And that may not apply to your situation. In the comments, someone is talking about when things become overwhelming, that this might be the time that you seek individual therapy so that you can access your patterns, your boundaries, accessibility. And I think that has sort of rang through the last few minutes of this conversation, is that sometimes when, as Dee points out, the balance becomes the issue, then it might be time for you to start to look within. But obviously we're on a call because we have children that are struggling, and everybody's experiences might vary. Kelly, I think we have time for one. If anyone else has
time, sure.
If anybody else has anything that their experience,
I just have a question around managing stress and anxiety. I've heard several people in the last few days in various conversations say that they were feeling stressed or possibly anxious, or they're going through something or having grief over the loss of a loved one. Are there any, or what would you share in terms of healthy coping skills? Just a couple things.
Well, I just want to put it in the backdrop. One of my colleagues, Jessica Smedley, she says that we've been in this period for years where we've just been piling on losses. With COVID, with the deaths stemming from COVID, with all of these stressors on the elections, with the economic anxieties. Most of us within hearing distance are struggling with our children. And there is no coincidence that the level of anxiety in the United States is at an all-time high, and 30 to 40% of people are reporting depression or anxiety-based symptoms. And I mean clinical symptoms, not just I'm sort of anxious. And so again, going back to focusing on your mental health and well-being as a goal for the year, start by doing some self-examination. I'm anxious. What am I anxious around? What are the triggers? Am I overloaded in addition to being stressed? How can I, one, identify what I need, and then two, work toward getting it, all right? How can I calm my stressors? And I think if we could, when we end this call, for those of you who are listening, is to sit down and just jot down, like, am I anxious? Am I more anxious this year than I was last year? Do I want to formulate a plan on my mind and my body and my spirit? And we've talked about this on many shows. It's just as simple as you writing those words at the top of your page. Mind, body, spirit, right? What are some things that you think might help? What are some things that you want? what will feed you? And then think about your environment. We've talked about it before. The other Dr. McGee, Barry McGee, was on the call, talked about limiting those things that are pushing you over the edge, like social media. For me right now, I find social media to be very, very anxiety provoking. And I have been more and more talking to parents of young adult children who are struggling with mental health or addictions to stay off of social media because the comparisons are enormous. People are comparing themselves. They're comparing themselves to their sorority sisters, their link sisters, their fraternity brothers, their friends and quote social media friends. And it is always sort of used to make ourselves feel internally guilty or it makes us feel alone. And it makes us feel like we didn't do something right because it sets up this sense that everybody's kid is doing well except for yours. These highlight reels, oh my gosh, Tracy Berry McGee. That's what they are. I call them Facebook face. Right? Because you're showing a face of your kid that's going to graduate, that finished graduate school, that did this and did that. But you're not telling the whole story. And that's the point in which Kelly and I've had this conversation many times where people are comparing themselves. And so, Kelly, I want you to ring in a little bit about that because I know that that's something that you experienced.
Smile, I had a thousand things to say about that this topic, but yeah, you're talking about high school graduation with Kyle and everybody's. Where is he going to school? What school is he going to? And I would say with a smile, we're just working on graduation from high school because that was the goal. And at the time, we weren't sure that was going to happen either. And so the important piece of that is to shift our thinking to around people, our children being well, and to ask a
Right.
different question, which is how are they doing? Or
I
do they have
stop
any
asking.
plans
I
for
stop
that?
asking the
Or
college question.
have no questions about college because it's not for everybody and that's purely okay.
And it's not for everyone at 18.
That's right. Or maybe never, and that's okay too. But
That's true.
someone asked earlier and I was smiling. I was talking to a friend about this weekend about how I'm still working to release this need to be here for my grown children. Like they're home and I feel like, well, I should be there. But when they're here, they're in their rooms, they're watching Netflix or whatever, and they're not like sitting up under me like they were 3 or 4. And so it's like, what do I want to do? I want to be in the sunshine in Florida. So that's what I'm going to choose to do. And what's interesting about that, it makes my children go, oh, she's doing something for her. And it's also pulling us closer together in a very interesting way because one in particular is calling more and asking more questions and sharing more. And it's almost like any relationship, it's like I'm not easily accessible. And so the person wants you more because you're not, like hovering and having them, and vice versa, I'm expecting them to be up under you. So when we release that expectation, it opens up this whole new space and dynamic for a real relationship and a different type of relationship and a communicative relationship that is really something special that I'm experiencing for the first time as I choose me more.
Well, and it's more of an adult relationship because I always feel like when your children get past 20, you start to form a relationship with them as an adult, right? And they start to know a little bit about you as an adult as opposed to their mother, right? And those are as much as we merge those things, those are two different things. And not always bad. Again, it's what is good for your situation. Everybody's situation, do we talk about this with D, is different.
That's
And
right.
you have to judge it based on where you are with your own children.
That's it. And somebody said they're having the exact same experience, Jules. with her three sons, because now pursuing, right, when we pursue our best life, it actually transitions to be potentially part of their best life because they were getting
Right.
a
Yeah.
different
So
image.
just to give a connection to
Love that.
called earlier. So the difference, because it's almost like a perfect closing, because what happens is in the beginning, the worry was like, oh my goodness, what are they going to do without me? Are they going to handle their business? We want them to be independent. But then now that I'm leading a certain life, you know, they're giving me problems when I'm like, oh, I'm going away again. And they're like, wait, you're not available to me. And then something happens when you start getting healthier and start being a listener a lot more and having a better control of yourself and your emotions. And then really just not minding their business and really embracing the role of I'm a coach on the side. You know, I will respond when you ask me. It changes the entire dynamic, especially now, you know, you do the reverse. Now it becomes, mommy, what are you doing? Or is everything, what are you doing? And I'm like, I'm good. And that's it. Not all texts and all that kind of stuff. You just change. And then they start to really start to say, okay, wait a minute, what are you doing? But the change that makes the biggest difference is the joy that they see with you being less stressed. And you making more sense, and you having more patience, and you being healthier. And that change just changes the entire dynamic of the relationship.
That's it. And that could not have been the better closing. That's exactly right. I so love that. Thank you for sharing that. And Dr. Linda, we are out of time now. If you want to wrap up in any way.
Perfect for
Okay.
perfect closing. It's just, I see, feel like what we got out of this call today, one of the things we got out of this call is that there are a lot of parents out there that are trying to find their way to finding some kind of more balance, even though they might be dealing with significant challenges. And I just encourage that. And I encourage even more than that is people taking good care of themselves, better care of themselves this week. Remember, you're carrying trauma and you have to combat that with self-care.
Right.
And for you to like outline mind, body, and spirit and make some goals this year.
That's it. Love that. Thank you, Dr. Linda. And thank you, everybody, for being here once again as we kick off the beginning of the year. And Dr. Vicki Johnson will close us out in a beautiful prayer. Dr. Vicki, are you on?
I am. Good morning. Thank you, Dr. Linda. And thank you, Kelly and Dee and Tracy and everyone for contributing to the call today. God, we thank you for another beautiful day that you've given to us. Thank you for allowing us to see another year. Thank you for 2025 and for this community that is the Sunrise Project, for the wisdom that we gain every week. Thank you, God, for perfecting everything that concerns us. Thank you for ordering each of our steps. Thank you that no good thing will you withhold from us as we continue to walk upright before you. And God, we trust you with all of our hearts. We don't lean to our own understandings, but in all of our ways, we acknowledge you. We thank you that we don't have to be anxious for anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, just let our requests be made known to you. You said if we lack wisdom or desire wisdom, all we have to do is ask. So thank you for a safe place to ask and share, not compare, but just hold space so that we can each come into our own definition of wisdom for our individual and collective journeys. God, we thank you again for this day. Now bless us as we go further into this day, into this week. Keep us safe, God, as many of us will be experiencing snow and ice and freezing cold. We thank you for traveling mercies, for angels that are encamped around us. And we give you glory for the Sunrise Project. Thank you again for Dr. Linda and her wisdom that she so freely shares with us. We don't take it for granted. Until we come together again next week, bless every household represented on this call, every family, every mother, every father, every child. God, that we are standing in the gap for. We thank you that we will all come out victorious in the end with a testimony that God did it. And we give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. What a wonderful prayer. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Every week.
And we'll see you next time.
Beautiful. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. Have a beautiful day. Stay safe if you're in the DMV and traveling. Take care. Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Linda. Thank you, Vicky.
Thank you.
Take care.